You are listening to Fantha Tracks.
Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Time to get all your Star Wars news in a single file. This is Making Tracks. Here are your hosts, Mark Newbold and Mark Mulcaster.
It's not true. That's impossible.
Hello and welcome to a festive episode of Making Tracks, episode 181. Brought to you by those fine folk over at Fantha Tracks. This is hosted by two Marks. I'm the good-looking and witty one, and the other one's Mark Newbold. Mark, how are you doing, buddy?
And not as well as I was 10 seconds ago, Mark.
We are literally counting down the days to Christmas. We're now into the final back straight of 2023. Unless, obviously, Kathleen Kennedy decides to kind of put down her fork while she's cutting into the turkey and announce some kind of new Star Wars films or something coming out, that will probably be it for the year. However, as we have surmised already, every time I say there won't be any news before Christmas, it kind of gets jinxed. So, in some respects, fingers crossed. How has your week in stars been so far, buddy? How's it all been?
It's been good. It's been a really busy one on Fantha, weirdly. There seems to have been plenty of bits and bobs of news, collecting news and weird little random things. Heading towards Christmas and thinking already about 2024 and events and things that we're going to do as a team. But yeah, there's a lot to get through before we get to the end of 2023, including, you know, things like turkey and family.
Uncle Santa's. Yeah, I mean, we won't try to get through family because that sounds a bit final.
It does.
We're going to bury them in the back garden, which, to be fair, I'm sure some families probably will wish by the end of Christmas they have done that. However, we won't. Mine, on the other hand, has been a bit of a weird one. I've been so busy with work. You know, the run-up to Christmas, as you can imagine, in TV land is especially busy. And this time it's been great because I've been able to spend a bit of time working on some shows that are pretty close to my heart and close to your heart. So I've just finished working on The Unofficial Science of Indiana Jones.
Nice.
Yes. So that is coming out, I believe, New Year's Day. I did The Unofficial Science of Die Hard. That is, I think, out maybe Christmas Eve. Nice family entertainment there. But as with everything this time of year, I try not to buy too much Star Wars stuff because there's always a risk buying something that somebody else in the house looks at you with disgust because you've basically just ruined a decent Christmas gift idea. So have you bought anything yourself? Have you got anything in the collection this week?
This week I have had the Book of Boba Fett wave of the Star Wars Hasbro Retro Collection figures turn up. Also from the Ahsoka wave, Marok, or as I like to call him, Fart in the Wind, which I think is his Return of the Jedi name. That would be the main thing that's come. Oh, I got a beautiful, actually it came from Amazon. It's I don't know why I hold my hands like this because this is a podcast. It's a hardback and it is the Return of the Jedi adaptation as drawn by Al Williamson, but they've basically punched out the main characters and put them on slightly different backgrounds. But it's in one of those cardboard books like kids read. Really nice. That so Jedi's out now. Weirdly, Empire's not out yet. Empire's out fairly shortly, but absolutely gorgeous. And so, he never did a New Hope adaptation, so we'll never see that. But he did Empire and Jedi, so they're beautiful. Whoever thought of that, it's a cracking idea. And I think it was $10. It wasn't a crazy amount either, so that's really, really nice. I've just ordered Regal Robot. Have done a limited for their Facebook group. They've done a limited Regal Robot pin, which I've just ordered. And there's been a few other bits and bobs which evade my mind because it's aging and shriveling, and I probably forget all the cool stuff that I should have got. Oh, but one point I will say is that you may mention Christmas and people getting presents when they curse you for, why did you buy that Star Wars annual? You know I was going to buy you that. Or why did you buy those Star Wars pajamas? I have actually already bought two Star Wars calendars, the deluxe Return of the Jedi one with all the prints in it, which is very nice, and the Quarry one. And there's also a Mandalorian one. But I will say the saving grace of this situation, this year I do believe there are 13 different Star Wars calendars. So the odds are in your favour, actually. If you do pick one up, you've got a fairly good chance that, you know, you're going to be okay.
The only one I've picked up is the little Grogu one from Costco, quite thick. But that's the only downside to those, is the fact that they're quite thick. So you stick them on in a drawer and they take up a lot of space. It is impressive. The amount of calendars, variant Star Wars calendars that there are. I mean, I try and get maybe one or two, and those deluxe ones I've picked up for the last couple of years. And I might maybe get one or two others, but I've never gone for like the full chase and tried to get every single one. I will update you to see how many I pick up. And also, they're normally quite good to pick up in the sales. They hang around a little bit for like the first couple of weeks of January, don't you? So you can normally get them for a little bit cheaper. You know?
You've got all the calendar puns, updates, hanging around. You've really thought this one through, haven't you?
Yeah, thank you very much. We've got some news.
Unbelievably, 8 years since The Force Awakens came out, long-awaited sequel to Return of the Jedi, the film would go on and make just over $2 billion. It's still the highest grossing movie ever in the States, nearly $937 million. Crazy amounts of numbers that will probably won't be topped. And if it is, it'll probably be by the sequel to Barbie or something really random like that. To think that 8 years ago, we were entering this Disney movie era. Of course, we'd already had Rebels had started. What are your sort of memories of that day when we did that amazing premiere at Leicester Square?
I suppose you could say it was one of the best badly kept secrets in the community at the time. And I wasn't even running L3 Base. I was second in command and Susie was still running it. And so we got an email, myself and Susie, from Pete Vilmer, who was head of fan relations at the time, and kind of said, just keep this date and this date free. So we're like, oh, I wonder what that could be about. And he said nothing else. And this was probably about August, September, right? So we kept it to ourselves for a little bit, then like got a little bit closer. And like, you spoke to Gary Hales from the UK Garrison. So like, we're going to have to say something, because if they do want us for some form of promotion, or, and at the time we didn't really even think about the premiere to begin with, just wanted to make sure that the people were going to be around and available, because there's nothing worse than something like this dropping and then your members can't get the time off work because it's Christmas. So we thought, give them as much notice as possible, with the caveat that we don't know what it is, we don't know if it'll be needed, but just keep it free. And worst case scenario, you've got the day booked off and you could probably go and see Star Wars at, you know, midnight. Basically, it was so late in the day getting the confirmation. You know, originally it was 30 costumers that Disney and Lucasfilm invited to the premiere. And Gary and myself went down to Hammersmith offices and basically just negotiated for pretty much a week to get that number increased to 100, so we could do a full-on parade from the opening of the premiere, so we could actually make an impact. But then it kind of, and again, this is kind of just down to the planning of like the team behind it, which is like myself, Gary, Steve Smith, and Elaine Smith, and Sam. It kind of went pretty much like clockwork. One of the only people who couldn't make it was Muggins here, because I had to go and collect my now ex-wife from the airport, who had flown back in from Barcelona that evening. And so luckily I was able to do the actual premiere, but then literally had to, as everybody was running to get to the cinema screening, so I was packing up and just had to saunter back to pick her up from the airport. She got in the car, she's like, oh, I'm so tired. And I said, like, well, we've got to go and see a midnight screening of Force Awakens now. She's like, I should have just let you just stay and watch the film. And at that point I was like, okay, what's the number for my lawyer? but that's fine, because you can't win it all. And then the thing is that not only this week has been 8 years since like Force Awakens, all my Facebook memories have been for that golden, like super lucky period of the Rogue One press stunt that we were involved with. Then we had Last Jedi at Royal Albert Hall, and then Rise of Skywalker. And you think to yourself, there's never been a time like it, and there may not ever be a time like that. If we ever get back to like one Star Wars film a year, I'll be mightily impressed. Also, will be time to retire, I think.
I was very lucky. I'd been contacted by O2 to do some little viral videos. So me and Ruth did some, Paul Bateman and his partner Athena did some, and we both got tickets to the premiere. So me and Ruth had got our tickets. Ruth will tell anyone and everyone how she was literally, and she was, the very first person on the red carpet at the Force Awakens premiere, because I was pushing her in a wheelchair, so she was ahead of me. I remember being in the crowd, and we met Norman Reynolds, the late Norman Reynolds, and had a little chat with him, and managed to get in, sat and watched the film third row. So it was a great seat. Wow. And of course, all the cast come out, and the crew come out, and the best of it was, it's a long story, I'll try and truncate it.
Okay.
My friend Craig Spivey, who's part of now Generation Skywalker. Craig is longtime friends with Paddy Considine, the actor. Paddy got given tickets because he'd worked with Oscar Isaac. Paddy couldn't make it, so he gave the tickets to Craig. Craig had one spare ticket to the screening and one spare ticket to the after party. So he said to me, would you like to come with us, him and his partner, Kimberly, to the after party? And I went, I can't leave Ruth. Thank you, but no, I heartbroken said no. He went, okay, no problem. So he goes off, he gives his spare ticket to some random girl in the queue, 14, 15-year-old kid, who was like mega Star Wars fan. All of her friends were like, go, go, go. So this girl got to see the, you know, into the premiere, which was a really sweet thing. Then we came out afterwards and Ruth said, you didn't realise I'm in the wheelchair, so you're my carer, so we only need one ticket. I was like, oh my goodness. So there we are on Leicester Square. You know how many thousand people were on Leicester Square that night. And I'm looking around and I'm looking around. And he had a quite distinct top on, but I thought, I'm not going to see him. No. And I turned around and there he was. And I says, Craig, have you still got the ticket? And he went, what, this ticket? And I went, yep, I'll take it. And he went, there you go. So we all went together, got a taxi, went up to the Tate, which is where the after party was. And four of us got into the after party, which was phenomenal, obviously.
I bet it was.
So, yeah, if we ever get anything like that happen again with these premieres happening that sort of within that week in December, we'll be very lucky.
Hi, this is Julie Dolan, the voice of Princess Leia, and you're listening to Fanthatrax. It's your only hope.
I ended up running the Last Jedi premiere at Royal Albert Hall, which was fun, but also absolutely cold. And that's the only downside.
That was our first premiere as Fanthatrax. We'd launched in the October, and this was the December. Yeah. So me and Matt were on the red carpet, if you remember, and I got my big Parker on. Matt had his Chewy jacket on, and I can't remember being that cold outside of outside of Norway or New York in January. It was ridiculous.
And the thing is, we had little Liv Taylor, bless her, in her A New Hope Princess Leia costume.
I remember that.
Probably with thermals on underneath. Like, you know, I mean, most of the costumers, like barring Paul Smith, who was in his Chewbacca and a couple of the pilots, were absolutely freezing. I mean, I had like four layers on and I was cold. And I'm a bit of a southern fairy. I don't deal with the cold very well. But then, like, we were also lucky. Every time we had a premiere, we also got to the press screening and stuff like that. And it was weird. It was one of those double-edged sword of like seeing it with tickets that you're not necessarily going to give you the best seats in the house, but you are always tend to be seeing it with like a load of fans, and also because the members of the club, and that also makes it a bit more special than that.
You say how lucky we were, because you know, when Last Jedi came out, you had the director in the Jedi, there's a premiere of that.
Yeah,
it was the behind the scenes stuff for The Force Awakens. There was a premiere thing for that, so there was lots of stuff around it, quite apart from the press screenings. I know when Solo came out, I know that was in May. Saw you on Leicester Square. We did some recording. They did that screening up at Pinewood, at the cinema at Pinewood. So there was all these cool little things that were sort of in and around it as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's what I think really made it probably even extra special, because, you know, it didn't mean that you'd leave the cinema kind of going, I can't tell anybody about this other than the people who have been there. And, you know, the amount of people who had dropped me a Facebook message and say, oh, you know, no spoilers, but how was it? Well, I can't even tell you that.
This is terrible. I shouldn't repeat this. Were you there at the UKG ball at the NEC when myself and James decided to play a prank and announce on the internet that we'd all been shown the trailer for episode 7? And loads of people believed us. And Lucasfilm actually got in touch and said, you shouldn't have said that. And we apologized.
Yes. At the time, I was like, that is funny as, you know.
Yeah, but I think we all thought it was funny in the room.
It's amazing what a couple of points does, you know.
Hi, Paul Blake here, Greedo from Star Wars A New Hope, and you're listening to Fanthatrax.
Okay, so favourite moment of 2023 is me and you being upstaged on the Celebration podcast stage by Vivian Lara Blair, and actually having a chance to kind of chat to her, or just say, listen to her talk to us about her crazy schedule and stuff like that. I thought that was a highlight, partly because up until that point, Celebration was just this complete, you know, whirlwind of just, you know, 25,000-30,000 steps a day of running around doing stuff and not really kind of getting to experience the convention in the way that as a fan I would like to have done. But, you know, knowing that that was kind of a sacrifice of like being a club leader, just that one little moment of surreal but peaceful inactivity was very special. And I still have those little baby Yoda sweets that she
got the sweets.
I got the sweets. They're in my one of my bookcases next to like all my, I think, challenge coins and stuff.
That audio came out as an episode of Making Tracks way back when, early, not long after Celebration came out, but the video has never been shown. That video will be on Fanthatrax TV over the Christmas period. So we'll be able to finally see, because she'd just been on the main stage, hadn't she? She'd just been up with Hayden and Ewan. I think Amy Radcliffe was presenting it, and she was awesome and just blew the room away. When she came to us about an hour and a half later, bless her, I mean, she was only 10 at the time. I think she was absolutely shattered. She was on, wasn't she? As soon as she sat down, bang, she was on.
A proper consummate professional, if ever there was one. It's really difficult, isn't it? Because like, if you take Celebration out of it, like, I mean, Celebration is just 4 days of like favorite memories and stuff. And it can be just little things. It can just really, you know, it's a cliche where people say, you know, it's not necessarily what's happening, but it's who you spend it with. And there were so many Rebel Legion and 501st members around and like, you know, just hanging out with you guys for the brief periods of time that we could and stuff. It was a long weekend, but definitely one well worth it.
It was. For me, I mentioned it on Good Morning Tatooine this week, Planet Leia. I thought they were phenomenal. Yeah. And I was chuffed to bits because that room was full, more than standing room only. It was people sitting on the floor. It was just fantastic. Couldn't have been prouder of them for that moment. As you just mentioned, Vivian, which was hilarious because she was so much fun. And also Cantina 2, which was just flat out one of the best gigs I've ever been to. Asher, amazing. Everybody was brilliant. The atmosphere was phenomenal. And yeah, like you say, it's just lots of cool little moments. I wasn't well at Farthest From, so I had to leave early, and it breaks my heart because I love that show. So I really wanted to enjoy that because I always have a good time at that. But there's been some really good events this year. Echo was great fun. But if I had to pick one moment, I think I probably would pick that Planet Leia was just fantastic. Yeah. So that's my favourite moment.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com. For Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
Literature. We both read a bit. We both read comics and books and have a mooch through stuff. I'm not asking you to pick a specific book or a specific issue, but is there anything you've read this year that kind of grabbed you? You thought, that was pretty on the nose. That was good. I enjoyed it.
Certain point of view, you know, Return of Jedi edition was like, seemed to be monster big compared to the other two. I tend to kind of audiobook or read in conjunction, and that seemed to take forever to get through the audiobook. Been pretty lucky. I think there's been like, what, 14 actual Star Wars books published this year. So that's, you know, that's a decent amount, six of which be adult books, The High Republic, which, to be honest, I seem to have fallen a little bit off of the wagon on. I just haven't been able to kind of get back into it in the way that I was kind of hoping to. So Rise of Red Blade, the Inquisitor's standalone story, I thought that was pretty cool. There's been some decent novels in that. How about yourself?
I've really enjoyed them. The main four titles have all been, I think it's been the most consistent year for all of them. Mm. And when you bear in mind, we had the back end of phase two of Horror Republic, and I really enjoyed Kevin Scott's run on phase two, the Marvel phase two run. Thought that was fantastic. And just getting into phase three now. But, you know, Charles Soule on Star Wars, the amount of plates that guy spins is ridiculous. Greg Pak on Darth Vader, the Poison Chalice of comics. Such an often written character. You know, they've told so many stories about Vader, but there's always been that caveat if you can't get too deep into the character. But now, ever since really the prequel trilogy, you've kind of lifted the lid enough that now a good writer can get in there and tell some interesting stuff. So I think what he's done in there has been fantastic. Really enjoyed Dr. Aphra to the point that at one point it was probably my least favourite, and now it's probably my joint favourite. I just think what Alyssa Wong has done with it, they've done a phenomenal job with that title. And the saddest news is that Bounty Hunters is going to finish with issue 42. And I love Bounty Hunters. You know, I've interviewed Ethan Sachs for Insider. That should be out fairly soon. I think the title's brilliant. I'd say that's probably the most consistent Star Wars book probably ever. I know that sounds ridiculous. Yeah. I don't think there's ever been an issue that's not been anything other than enjoyable. I've read issues 1 to 40. Unless he drops the ball on issues 41 and 42, I would stack that comic against anything. So, favourite event? Let's take out Celebration from the equation because we know Celebration is going to be fantastic. But what's been your favourite event that you've been to this year?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, actually, because it's been a bit of a weird one. Some events haven't happened in the way that we normally would do, like National Space Centre event. Yeah. That was kind of cancelled, but that's going to be back this coming May. I think it's May 4th, 5th.
May 4th, yeah.
I think for me, because I work in the industry, like the Futures Festival that we do at Pinewood, which was only a couple of weeks ago, really, at the end of November, that was definitely one of the highlights, just partly because it was so cool to, like, those two kind of worlds for me don't tend to cross over very often. Everybody knows that I'm the Star Wars guy, and everybody knows that I have Star Wars costumes and stuff and what have you at work. But a couple of people there who had either worked at Sky or work with Sky, and so they kind of saw me and and actually asked what we did. So that was cool. And it was just also nice to be able to talk to people, not only about the costuming side when they were asking us about it, but also, you know, talk about the industry, an industry that I've been working in for almost 20 years now. So that was cool. And also, let's be fair, Pinewood Studios, you know, it's for now the perennial home of like modern Star Wars. So that was a really cool event. Invasion Colchester in September, that's always fun just because it's not a convention, but it's so ridiculously big. Like, you just take over the whole of Colchester, there's costumers and cosplayers, not only just Star Wars, but any pop franchise. So it's almost like taking all the costumers out of convention and just dropping them into like a town center. We've always been lucky, really, that the weather's been great. So that always helps because you're outside. So those two definitely. Farthest From, although I wasn't there on Sunday, the Saturday was amazing because we got to induct Pablo Hidalgo into the honorary members of Rebel Legion and Elstree Base. Dave Tree, he does such a great job of like it putting does. On such a very unique and niche kind of event that you kind of have to see it to believe it. Pablo was in his element because it was such a niche event as well. I mean, how about you? What's your one, two or three?
Star Wars Fan Fun Day this year was fantastic fun, as it always is. We always have a great time, but being Burnley previously and Blackburn now. So that was great fun. Echo Base, which just goes from strength to strength. So well put together, so busy. You get to see so many people. As we say, missed the Christmas Farthest From, sadly. But yeah, I would say on the face of it, I would probably pick Star Wars Fan Fun Day again. It's just so well put together. It's got such a great vibe. They did such a good job. LFCC, again, was fun this year. We had the Star Wars Zone. Yes. And I enjoyed that this year more than I have for a while. It just flowed really well. Again, Dave Tree was involved, did a great job in pulling, you know, a good bunch of people together. So I feel that was a good show this year, and I'm looking forward to doing that again next year. So, I'm always ready to get out and do new conventions. I've never done the Pinewood one. I've never done Invasion Colchester. There's other shows around the place that I'd like to get to. So my hope this year, or next year rather, is to, you know, to get to some new stuff and see some new places.
Let's make it your New Year's resolution.
We should.
Hi, this is Kyle Newman, and you're listening to Fantatrax.
What are your hopes for 2024? Is there anything you want to achieve, either as a Rebel Legion member or as a member of Fantatrax or making tracks? Is there anything you want to go to? Is there any place you want to be? You know, what are your hopes for 2024?
With the RL, been doing it for like since 2007, 2008. And if anything, I've got a couple of costumes that I'm... One, I'm probably about three quarters of the way through completion. There's one I haven't even started that I want to do. And I really want to kind of tackle those this year. And the downside to having all these costumes is the upkeep. I've got to buy new like flight suits from a Boba Fett and stuff like that. And that's just one of those things. So I'll be honest, Celebration took probably a lot out of me, actually. Now, I didn't actually even realize it at the time. By the time LFCC came around, I'm just like, wow, you know, really could just do with 3 months or 4 months of just not having to do anything to do with costuming, but that's not how it goes, you know. And actually now it's been nice because I actually had that lull a little bit, and you know, we've trooped, me and Karen have trooped most weekends and stuff, but it's not been crazy. And so I'm looking forward to being able to kind of hit the ground running, I believe, with MegaCon in January. Yeah. So yeah, that'd be cool. It's always nice when we can kind of pull events together, like with Fantatrax, you know, with all the other costuming clubs, you know, Dark Empire, Saber Guild, Mando Mercs, 501st, Droid Builders, you know, Joker Squad. There's so many costume clubs in the UK who are filled with fantastic members. Whenever you get one or two or more at like an event, it's always a nice kind of family feel. So that is one thing that I'm going to look forward to for this year. And also, just as a fan, maybe get some concrete news coming out. When I was at Pinewood, there was talk, people that I know who are cast and crew, or more crew than cast, you know, there's rumblings, is it going to be April, you know, it should be April, maybe it's March for what they call an episode 10, like air quotes, to start, like, you know, to really start production. So that, talk about where we were 8 years ago. You remember that first tweet from JJ Abrams, which was just like, I think it was a post-it note, a clapperboard. As soon as that starts, then we're off, and you know that it's going to be a wild ride until we kind of like get to see that final film, you know, in the cinema. So yeah, how about yourself, dude?
24 is going to be weird because it's not a celebration year. Yeah. Japan's in 25. We'd like to think there'll be movie news exactly as you've just described. We know that Skeleton Crew and Acolyte are in the can, and that Andor's not that far away. When we'll get any of those, we don't know. All we do know is we're getting Bad Batch season 3, which I'm very much looking forward to. So I think that's kind of the same. I'm hoping that we get some concrete news. I want to feel confident, and without digging too much. You know, we've had a lot of false starts over the last couple of years with, you know, this director's working on this, then that fizzles out and this, that, and the other. Is the Ray episode 10 thing happening? What, where are we with the Mangold film? You know, I just want to kind of know that these things are going to start moving forward. The only one I'm convinced will happen is the Filoni, you know, the Mandoverse one. But in terms of hopes for the year, I'd like to just get to some different places and tick off some places that I really should have been to before. I'm going to Puzzlewood with my friend Grant, also from Generation Skywalker, so Grant Criddle. So we're going to go and visit that. So I'll finally tick that off the list whilst continuing to do the staples like Echo, like Fan Fun Day, like National Space Center. That'll be a busy weekend because they clash. And I'm praying, I'm genuinely hoping that there is a Rancho Obi-Wan Gala this year because I'm absolutely itching to get back out for that.
I mean, I wrote something that I was going to post on LinkedIn, but actually kind of summing up my year, which I actually didn't in the end, partly because I was writing it in the gym. But I think also just by writing it, it got it out of my head, yourself and me, and you know, who are doing more than just being fans. We're active fans in the community. I think sometimes we do have to kind of take a step back and kind of do these things for ourselves, like visit Puzzlewood and that, because otherwise it's not necessarily work, but it becomes like, right, okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? And it's like, you know, when we were in the midst of the sequel trilogy and stuff, and you know, you've got people going, right, okay, what's next? It's like, right, okay, well, we're in a we're kind of in a routine now, so it's going to be a premiere, then it's going to be the film releases, and it's going to be May 4th, and then it's going to be Force Friday or whatever that is, and then we're going to be able to run up to the films and so on and so forth. And obviously since Rise of Skywalker, and everything's kind of gone a little bit slightly less structured from Lucasfilm, which has kind of made it quite fun because it's kept everybody on their toes a little bit as to when things drop. Be it that I actually kind of get up to yours and actually get to see that collection room, but I was so close.
I know. I thought it was nearly there, wasn't it?
I was nearly there. And I fell asleep in the hotel. You know, the irony. So
we'll do it. We will make it happen. Yeah,
exactly. And it will be a special episode of Making Tracks when it does. It'll be a live streamed video one, I reckon. So we'll have to take over Good Morning Tatooine when we do it. You know,
that's a good idea. Well, there's another hope for next year. I hope that we can try and keep our regular episodes going.
Yes.
Which we've managed to get back into the routine after a little bump in the road during Ahsoka. We'll have more reaction chats coming next year. We'll be expanding what we do on Fanthatrax TV. I know Brian's got big plans for that, and hopefully that'll involve you and me doing some live Making Tracks on the YouTube channel as well. So I'm looking forward to that. So I think we've got a pretty stacked year ahead of us.
That is all we have got time for. Thank you very much for listening, if it's been one episode or all the episodes. And if you've been a listener who has sent in a question, be it 1, 2, or in Mr. Skywalker's case, about 20, thank you very much for sending those in. And of course, obviously, as 2024 rolls around, the mailbag is open and we want it to be filled. So by all means, over Christmas, if you're drunk and you want to have a bit of a rant or just post some questions, do it. And so, Mr. Newbold, can you let the listeners know how they can get in touch?
If you want to be part of the action, visit fanthatrax.com or be sure to comment, like and share on our social media feeds at Fanthatrax. Send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fanthatrax.com. Subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Temple for composing the Fanthatrax intro, Adam O'Brien for our Making Tracks opening music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Tune in to Good Morning Tatooine. It's live Sunday evenings, 9 o'clock UK, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, on Facebook, YouTube and Twitch. And check out our Fanthatrax Radio Friday night rotation every Friday at 7 o'clock UK time for new episodes of The Phantom from Down Under, Planet Layer, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and special episodes of Making Tracks. And every Tuesday at 7 o'clock UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks. And remember, Fanthatrax.com, our social media feeds, Fanthatrax TV and Fanthatrax Radio are absolutely free. So no Patreon, Buy Me A Coffee, Kickstarter or Indiegogo required to stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news. And that's me done for this episode.
Have a very Merry Christmas or Happy Life Day or Happy Hanukkah or whatever Kwanzaa, whatever it is that you celebrate. Enjoy it with your family. Make sure you watch a bit of Star Wars and we'll see you in 2024. So until then, stay safe, take care, and may the Force be with you.
Coming up next on Fanthatrax Radio, it's another episode of Making Tracks.
Ho, ho, ho.